Today, Joe Biden wakes up and the pomp, the ceremony is over. He now has to do the really hard work. He's the 46th president of the United States. Donald Trump has lost his platform. He's lost Twitter. He's lost his platform as president of the United States. And he is in Mar-a-Lago doing, well, we don't really care. Jake Parakilis of the Ideas Institute at the London School of Economics is on Skype to us now. Jake, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
There are certain things that an American president can do by executive order, and there are other, usually more complicated things that has to get congressional approval for. Joe Biden's been very quick out of the blocks with a whole range of executive orders reversing things that the Trump administration had instituted. We don't have time to go through all of them, but perhaps pick a few that you think are quite significant.
Well, I'll start with the immigration stuff, because I think Biden doesn't have a reputation of someone who engaged deeply on immigration issues. The last time he was in government as vice president to Barack Obama, immigration reform advocates were generally disappointed with their administration. They made a sort of two-handed deal. On the one hand, they tried to push for loosening various immigration regulations. They tried to make a grand bargain by increasing the enforcement capabilities and giving the particularly Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the enforcement arm of America's immigration policy, greater latitude to go after people who are undocumented, who didn't have papers to be in the United States. That, of course, was accelerated and sharpened and made much more inhumane by the Trump administration, most notably with the family separation policy, which was eventually canceled after serious public outcry. Biden's gone after some of the Trump administration's less noted but in some ways equally inhumane immigration actions right out of the blocks, I think in recognition of the fact that across the Democratic coalition, across the groups that voted for Biden, the Trump immigration policy was seen as sort of a particular sign of moral failure. And so he has to give them something immediately to show that he's different, that he's doing something differently, and that he's learned from the last time he was in government. But beyond that, obviously, the big thing is COVID. The question of how to manage the federal government's vaccine program. And what we're hearing today is they're going to have to build it from the ground up because there wasn't a vaccine distribution program. The administration had been completely derelict and had essentially left it all to the states, which are not, in the event, really set up to do this kind of wide-ranging, fast-moving, utterly vital public health work on such a short time with their budgets already hammered by the attendant economic collapse. So Biden is going to have to move very quickly, and his executive orders, I think, demonstrate that he's taking it seriously on a lot of fronts. He can mandate mask wearing in interstate travel on federal facilities or federal federal contractors. He can't mandate mask wearing for the population at large. That would take an act of Congress, and it would almost certainly be tied up in the courts at the national level. But he's certainly trying to set an example, and you saw at the inauguration ceremony yesterday, anyone who wasn't currently talking into a microphone wearing a mask. And that's a big difference from what we've had.
I still would have preferred to see a greater sense of social distance, people not shaking hands and hugging, as was the case. I think they could have made a stronger symbolic point at the inauguration. But, okay, so then there's the dealing with COVID is a huge thing. Economic issues always a huge thing. And then, yeah, there's international relations, negotiating stuff with China. What do we do about Iran and the nuclear treaty and he's also going to try and end the uncivil war between red and blue. You know, there might be a sense of relief for those people who found Donald Trump beyond the pale, but it's not going to be easy for Joe Biden. There's a lot of stuff that he has to try and do, which he's going to find it very, very difficult to do, even though he has both houses of Congress with him.
He does. That doesn't mean that he's going to have an easy go of it on his legislative priorities in Congress. His first priority is, of course, passing another $1.9 trillion stimulus package, a rescue package, including direct payouts to American citizens, to things like extending additional support to businesses, to support for states whose budgets have been devastated by the economic collapse. That kind of stuff has wide currency in the Democratic Party, but he needs every single Democrat on board because his ability to pass through the Senate is dependent on the most conservative member of his caucus, because he needs every single Democrat. And then on top of that, he needs Kamala Harris as vice president to go and break ties as part of her constitutional duties. Or he needs to be able to pick off a few Republicans, though it's hard to imagine him passing a law that would get any Republican vote that didn't already have the support of the full Democratic Congress. That is the advantage that he has over the Obama administration when it tried to pass major legislation in 2009-2010. Obama had a much larger caucus, but his caucus, the most conservative members of the Democratic caucus in 2009 were significantly more conservative than the most conservative members now. The Democratic Party is more unified, but the margin in the Senate is razor thin. The margin in the House is also, you know, they've got maybe 7 or 8 votes that they can give away, depending on retirements and so on, but that's it. And, you know, when you're talking about members of the House, they're 4 times as numerous in any given party, at least, than senators. They represent smaller constituencies. There are more people who are willing to be a no vote because of one, you know, significant employer or one significant donor in their district than are senators. So it's a lot of very complicated, very very specific legislative lobbying that needs to be done. The one thing that Biden has going for him, aside from the general sort of the fact that he does have both houses of Congress for the moment, is the sense of urgency. Everyone understands that the United States is in crisis on multiple fronts. That there's no complacency, I think, anywhere in the Democratic caucus about the importance of getting things done, or the fact that while the Republicans are down right now, they are not out, and that in general, the first midterm election sees the opposition party picking up seats, which in either case would mean losing one of the houses of Congress.
Jake Parakilis, thanks very much for your analysis this late afternoon. And Jake is with the Ideas section of the London School for Economics.